Today is the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Our scripture reading from God's holy word are from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, Psalm 119, verses 129 through 136, and the gospel according to Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23. The message is titled, The Wonderful Word of God. From the Law of Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Now Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them, so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I give you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did at Baal Peor. The Lord your God destroyed them among you, everyone who followed the Baal of Peor. But all of you who held fast to the Lord your God are still alive today. See, I have taught you decrees and laws that the Lord, my God, commanded me, so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, but let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." Here ends the reading from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 129. Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant, longing for your commands. Turn to me and have mercy on me, as you always do to those who love your name. Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me. Redeem me from human oppression, that I may obey your precepts. Make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. Streams of tears flow from my eyes, for your law is not obeyed. Here ends the reading from portion of Psalm 119. The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. And Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." Here ends our reading from the Gospel according to Mark chapter 7. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A prayer from the Gelesium Sacramentary. I begin this morning with a quote from a book. The title of the book is Here I Stand. On the 16th of April, Luther entered Worms in a Saxon two-wheeled cart with a few companions. The imperial herald proceeded wearing the eagle upon his cloak. Although it was the dinner hour, 2,000 turned out to conduct Luther to his lodging. On the following day at 4 o'clock, Luther was waited upon by the herald and the imperial marshal, who conducted him furtively to avoid the crowds, to a meeting of the emperor, the electors, and a portion of the estates. The monk stood before the monarch, who exclaimed, "That fellow will never make a heretic of me." Emperor Charles was in a long line of Roman Catholic sovereigns: Maximilian, Ferdinand, Isabella of the House of Habsburg, Lord of Austria, Burgundy, Spain, Naples, the Holy Roman Emperor, of a vaster domain than anyone save Charlemagne. Before the emperor was a monk born of a minor, in the sense bringing the whole of the Western world to a standstill, a pivotal moment in human history. Which way will the future unfold? Was teetering upon the words, written words, and soon the spoken words of a monk from a small university in the midst of Saxony in Germany. What brought the Western world to this? What happened in Luther? Had been a lowly monk in the Augustinian order who became a doctor of theology, to now be standing before the emperor, to become a university professor of the Holy Scripture. Luther was immersed in the Word of God. Luther studied the Bible during his work towards the doctor of theology is what caused the teetering of history. Luther had come to know, come to see in the Scriptures, the Word of God must be the source, the norm, and the arbiter of all that is in the church. Not human traditions built upon over time, but the very Word of God must rule in the church as it is to rule in the heart of the Christian. The afternoon of April 17th, 1521, Luther in Worms for a diet. A diet is an assembly of the governance of the Holy Roman Empire. They're very rare, but it's assembled this day. Thinking there would be a debate, instead there's a table of his writings, and Luther was asked 2 questions. Are these your books? And will you recant? No debate. Recant and say his theology is wrong and betray God. Or don't recant and be condemned to death. Asking for 24 hours to consider his answer, it was granted. April 18th, 4 p.m. in the afternoon again, all together in the presence of Charles V, sitting on the throne in all his finery. German princes, the electors, the papal legates, and many others in the finery of their positions. Luther stands in the simple tunic of a monk. Luther answers, "Since then, Your Majesty, And your lordships desire a simple reply. I will answer without horns and without teeth. In other words, it's an answer with no debate in it. Luther continues, unless I'm convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen. After giving this answer in German, he was asked to give it in Latin. Luther spoke his answer in Latin. When he was done speaking in Latin, Luther threw up his arms in the gesture of a victorious knight and slipped out of the darkened hall to his lodgings. Sola Scriptura. Our conscience is captive to the Word of God. Luther used the word conscience, which in usage is the same as saying heart. His heart is captive to the Word of God. The place of morals, the place of thinking, the place of decision making, the conscience, the heart, interchangeable. What does this mean that the Word of God stands preeminent over all aspects of life? For this Word of God brings wisdom, it brings life, and brings redeeming grace. In these words of the Scripture, the Bible, the very nature and character of God is revealed. The compassion and goodness of God shines forth, as well as the depth of human depravity, all revealed along with the love of God for humanity, revealed in the Son's redeeming grace, bought by the blood of the Son on the cross. Luther, by studying the Word of God, came to see the teachings and practices of the church did not agree with the written Word of God. Indulgences were the catalyst that set in motion the great upheaval, the Reformation. But all this began with a renewed heart in Luther and a desire to know and live the Scriptures. What does God's Word say? What is the content of the faith? How is the faith lived out in daily life? With the Word of God and the faith of the church in mind, I ask you to use your discernment with the following that I'm going to share with you. A little while ago in an ELCA Lutheran church in Edina, Minnesota, it's posted on YouTube. You can watch it and hear it for yourself. This creed was used in a worship service. I believe in the non-binary God whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. There's more to it. But I consider what I have just shared to be a sufficient enough amount to give you a taste of what took place. Were you squirming in your heart and screaming, that is not the faith of the church? The person wearing the vestments of the office of pastor with enthusiasm leads them in this heresy. Sharing these words with you as they spoke the creed is to me as being Gandalf speaking the dark words of Mordor, which had never been spoken in the pure elf realm of Rivendell, to show that the ring of power is altogether evil. Needing to hear the words to recognize that they are altogether evil. These things are happening. Even in worship services are taking place. Because the truth of the sacred scripture is being abandoned for modern feelings. Not to hurt someone's feelings. and what is considered modern sensibilities, we know better. Lost is the eternal transcendent, yes, transcendent permanence of which is outside of ourselves, which the ancient creeds of the church, which have confessed the faith of the church for millennia. For you, these words in the Bible are the very word of God. Is that true for you? That these words of the Bible are the very word of God? For me, these words are the very words of God. Jesus in Mark chapter 7, he continues on about what defiles a person. It's not the not washing your hands when you come back from the marketplace. Beginning at Mark chapter 7, verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." With the disciples a little later, the disciples are wondering, what did he mean? So beginning Mark chapter 7, verse 20, he, Jesus, went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evil come from inside and defile a person." It's from the heart. It's from the place of who you are. The place that makes you be you. Your emotions, your morals, your place of decision making, where the spoken words and actions of life flow from. Good or evil? What comes out from inside you? That deepest place of who you are. In Luther's terminology, it's the conscience. As Jesus is speaking in Mark 7, it's the heart. Verse 20, what comes out? The Greek word is much more powerful than what comes out. For the Greek word is the emphasis on the outcome. It emphasizes the outcome, the end impact of the going forth. So the Greek word, what instead of comes out, it's what goes forth from your heart. Goes forth, and it's focused on the outcome. What this does, the source, the heart, is linked to the outcome of the action. And the outcome shows the condition of the heart. That is what defiles you. The outcome, the going forth from your heart, is what defiles you. Notice that the list Jesus speaks of as evil, it's sin. He speaks of the sin to the disciples. It can be found written about in the Law of Moses. You'll find all of those in the Law of Moses. And when I say the Law of Moses, it just means the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, which God gave Moses to write down. Deuteronomy 4, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "Now Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add to what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you." Notice it's the commands the Lord your God that Moses is giving them. And the do not add, do not subtract, what that means is do not change, even in the slightest manner. What the Lord God has given to Moses still stands to this very day. It will stand forever as to what is good, what is evil, what is unrighteous, and what is righteous, what is holy, and what is unholy in the eyes of the Lord God. It still stands to this day and always will. Deuteronomy 4, now beginning at verse 6. "Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us?' and whenever we pray to Him. And what other nation is so great to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting forth before you today? Observing, obeying the commands of the Lord, it shows wisdom. It shows understanding. For the commands of the Lord are righteous decrees. Did you hear that? They are righteous decrees. They are righteous laws. They are good. For these come from the Lord who is good and the Lord who is righteous. And it's given in compassion to us so that we would know how to live in the ways of the Lord. Given to us so we'd know how to live and walk in the ways of the Lord. Psalm 119, beginning at verse 129. Your statutes are wonderful. Therefore I obey them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Matthew Henry's commentary begins this on this section. The wonders of redeeming love will fix the heart in adoration of them. The scriptures show us what we are. The scriptures show us what we were, what we are, and what we shall be. They show us the mercy and the justice of the Lord, the joys of heaven and the pains of hell. Thus they give to the simple, in a few days, understanding of those matters which philosophers for ages have sought in vain. The believer, wearied by the cares of life and his conflicts with sin, pants for the consolation conveyed to him by means of the sacred word. The same two verses now from the North American Standard Bible, 1995 edition. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Testimonies, wonderful. My soul, what makes me, what I am, my heart, my conscience. Observe them, follow them, keep them. It gives light. It gives understanding. Understanding means the ability to discern, just as we did a brief moment ago concerning the Sparkle Creed being so wrong and so far from the faith of the church, which the Lord God revealed in the testimonies of the Old and New Testament, the Bible, the very Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 132. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Be gracious. Be merciful. The unfolding, the opening of the Word of God draws the heart. It draws the conscience. It draws the soul to the realization that though we try with all our strength and all our will and our desires, they still fall short. We are unable to keep the words of the Lord perfectly. We need mercy. We need grace. We need what alone the Lord our God can do for us. There's much more in Psalm 119 about the Word of God, the commands and law of the Lord. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 and 15 and 16. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Now down to verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight myself in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. The year was 1506. The cornerstone for a new basilica was being laid in Rome. Pope Julius II authorized an indulgence to finance the construction of what would be St. Peter's Basilica. Indulgences that could offer the future forgiveness of sins. In other words, you know you're going to sin 10 days from now, by an indulgence, that sin is already covered and forgiven. Or this indulgence could release a loved one from purgatory. 1515 now. Pope Leo X extends the places this indulgence was being offered into Germany. 1517, Tetzel arrives to promote them in the region. However, Elector Frederick declared his territory off limits for the selling of indulgences, which included Wittenberg. But the extravagant benefits of being offered by the indulgences, the local folk would travel the 50 miles round trip to Jüterbog with a silver coin or two. It's a small price to get that free pass to heaven. October 31st, 1517, Luther posted his 95 Theses for the purpose of debate. Let's talk about these things you're doing and see what the Word of God says about it. Thesis 82, such as, why does not the Pope empty purgatory for the sake of holy love and the dire need of the souls that are there, if he redeems an infinite number of souls for the sake of miserable money with which to build a church? The former reason would be most just. The latter is most trivial. In other words, if the Pope can release from purgatory, he do it for love. That's good. But do it for money? That makes it trivial. Thesis 86. Again, why does not the Pope, whose wealth is today greater than the wealth of the richest Krakus, build this one basilica of St. Peter with his own money rather than with the money of poor believers? Yes, it was the poor. The poor, and on their backs St. Peter's was built. Thesis 94 and Thesis 95. Christians should be exhorted to be diligent in following Christ, their head, through penalties, death, and hell, and thus be confident of entering into heaven through many tribulations rather than through the false security of peace. In other words, Christ and Christ alone. And that last part, Thesis 95, references Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts 14, verse 22. Strengthening the disciples and encourage them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. But it's struck in strengthening them to remain in the faith. For one to remain true to the faith, it means one needs to know the faith, which means to know the Word of God, so as to know God, who is revealed, and the work of redeeming grace freely offered in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, to know in the heart such that what flows from the heart is the faith birthed by God through the Holy Spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we come back to our gospel reading this morning, Mark chapter 7. As Jesus speaks of what goes forth from the heart, giving examples of what goes forth that defiles. For many, it's easy to say, I've never done that. And you go down that list, I've never done that. And keep going down the list, I've never done that. I don't have to worry about that. I'm okay. I don't have to worry about that. I'm okay. Not true at all. No one is okay. No one. All one needs to hear is the words of life. You want to hear these words of life from John chapter 6, verses 68 and 69. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. So here's one offering the words of life. And you think you're okay. You don't need the words of life, but you're not okay. You need the words of life. And this is the reason. All need to hear this from the Word of God, for it is written, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. Indeed, there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. Echoing that, Romans chapter 3, beginning of verse 22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through redemption that came by Christ. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. We're all unrighteous without the righteousness of Christ. And the righteousness of Christ comes to us through the finished work on the cross. What this teaching of Jesus means, that unless the spiritual condition of the heart is changed, the attempts to address the problems of human behavior will always fail. Unless the spiritual nature of the person's heart, the person's conscience, the person's soul is addressed in this manner, all attempts to change their human behavior will fail. Unless a new heart comes in, there will be no new behavior. It might be slight behavior modification, but a new person, not at all. You need to be born again. That's what this means. You need to be born again. Only the heart redeemed by Christ, through that finished work, that finished atoning work on the cross, with faith inbirthed in that person, which brings forth new life. Being born again, you'll see a whole new person, whole new behavior, whole new conscience, whole new heart, whole new soul, all by the grace of God. The culture around us is forsaking the Word, turning the back to God's holiness and righteousness. So I encourage all who are here, who are in Christ Jesus, stay steadfast in the faith. Know the written Word of God. Hide it in your heart, so that from your heart goes forth such a beautiful testimony to the redeeming grace of Christ at work in you for all to see, especially for the children to see, so as to teach the children to know and love the Lord your God, just as it's written in the Word of God. Amen. And amen.